Jada Madhava Kunjabi Hari.
Na ba.
Swami Sri Prabhupada ki Granthala Srimad Bhagavatam ki Oh, Hare Krishna. So, welcome, gentlemen. Hare Krishna. And what are your good names? You are? Say it again. Rajendra Kumar. Oh, Hare Krishna. Welcome to ISKCON Boston, New Gandicha Dham. And you are?
Vrajapati Das.
What is it?
Vrajapati
Das. Oh, Hare Krishna. I think I've met you before. You seem very familiar. So, Hare Krishna. So, welcome to New Gandicha Dham. How long will you be staying with us for? Okay. Well, hopefully, by your blessings, I'll be able to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam suitably, and hopefully for some benefit for all parties involved. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nadayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devam Sarasvatam Vyasam. Tato Jayam Udirayet. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Sarasvati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. So this verse, we're reading from the fifth canto, chapter 4, which the characteristics of Rishabhadeva are described very nicely. And this purport, verse is so lengthy that we couldn't even fit it on the board. So what I'll do is I'll just read the verse, and then together we'll read the verse word for word translation, and then we'll go from there, if that's okay? And I'm not sure what the meter of this particular text is, so I'll have to do my very best. So I hope you'll forgive my... Unless you want to recite the Sanskrit.
No?
Okay. It's challenging, I know.
I think this verse is already over. This verse is already over.
Eighth
is already over, I think, because day before yesterday I made class on this verse. Maybe yesterday they did the same thing.
Yeah, it's the fifth canto, fourth chapter, eighth verse. So in my book it's page 149. Atta hi Bhagavan Rishabhadeva Svavarsam Karma Kshetram Anumanyamana Padakshita Gurkur Vaso Labda Varar Guvabdir Anujatu Grihamedinam Dharmam Anukshasmano Jayantim Indra Dattatyam Ubaya Lakshanam Karma Samanyatam Yamantam Abhijam Atmajanam Atma Samanam Shattam Janayam Asa. So the word for word, Atta, thereupon. After the departure of his father. Indeed. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rishabhadeva. Rishabhadeva. Sva, his own. Varsham, kingdom. Karmakshetram, the field of activities. Anumanya manaha. Accepting as. Padarshita. Showing as an example. Gurukula Vasa. Living at the Gurukul. Labda. Having achieved. Varai. Gifts.
Gurubhi.
By the spiritual masters. Anugyata.
Being ordered.
Griha Medinam.
Of the householders.
Dharman.
Duties.
Anushikshamanaha.
Teaching by example.
Jayantam.
And his wife Jayanti.
Indradatayam.
Offered by Lord Indra.
Ubayalakshanam.
Of both types.
Karma.
Activities.
Samanyamam.
Samanyamanyatam.
Mentioned in the scriptures.
Abhiyunjam.
Performing.
Atmajanam.
Sons.
Atmasamanam.
Exactly like himself.
Shatam.
100.
Janayam asa.
Begat.
So I'll read the translation.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Abhayachivinoda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki.
So translation.
After Nabi Maharaj departed for Bhadiraka Ashram, the Supreme Lord Rishabhadeva understood that his kingdom was his field of activities. He therefore showed himself as an example and taught the duty of a householder by first accepting brahmacharya under the direction of spiritual masters. He also went to live at the spiritual master's place, Gurukula. After his education was finished, he gave gifts, or guru dakshin, to his spiritual masters and then accepted the life of a householder. He took a wife named Jayanti and begat 100 sons who were as powerful and qualified as he himself. His wife Jayanti had been offered to him by Indra, the king of heaven. Rishabhadeva and Jayanti performed householder life in an exemplary way, carrying out ritualistic activities ordained by the Shruti and Smriti Shastra. So the purport, please repeat. After Nabi Maharaj
departed for
Bhadrika
Ashrama,
the Supreme Lord, Rishabhadeva,
understood that his kingdom
was his field of activities.
He therefore showed himself
as an example
and taught the duties of a householder
by first accepting brahmacharya
under the direction of spiritual masters.
He also went to live at the spiritual master's place,
Gurukula.
After his education was finished,
he gave gifts,
guru dakshin,
to his spiritual masters,
and then accepted the life of a householder.
He took a wife named Jayanti
and begat 100 sons
who were as powerful and qualified as he himself.
His wife Jayanti
had been offered to him
by Indra, the king of heaven.
Rishabhadeva and Jayanti
performed householder life in an exemplary way,
carrying out ritualistic activities
ordained by Shruti and Smriti Shastra.
Purport.
Being an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Rishabha Deva had nothing to do with material affairs. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Parichanyaya Sadunam Vinishaya Chaduskritam, the purpose of an incarnation is to liberate his devotees and stop the demoniac activities of non-devotees. These are the two functions of the Supreme Lord when he incarnates. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said that in order to preach, one must live a practical life and show people how to do things. Aparinichari bhakti simukta sabare. One cannot teach others unless he behaves the same way himself. Rishabha Deva was an ideal king, and he took his education in the Gurukula. Although he was already educated, but although he was already educated because the Supreme Lord is omniscient. Although Rishabha Deva had nothing to learn from the Gurukula, he went there to teach the people in general how to take education from the right source, from Vedic teachers. He then entered householder life and lived according to the principles of Vedic knowledge, Shruti and Smriti. In his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami quotes the Skanda Purana, stating, Shruti Smriti Puraniti Pancharatika Vidimvina Aikantiki Hari Bhaktir Urpatayeva Kalpate. Human society must follow the injunctions received from Shruti and Smriti, Vedic literature. Practically applied in life, this is worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, according to the Pancharatika Vidhi. Every human being must advance his spiritual life and in the end return home back to Godhead. Maharaj Rishabha Deva strictly followed all these principles. He remained an ideal grihastha and taught his sons how to become perfect in spiritual life. These are some examples of how he ruled the earth and completed his mission as an incarnation. Om Jnanatam Nandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmalitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Patakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrachatam Agunatam Tam Sam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishikam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Prananami Hari Priye Panchakalpa Trumbascha Kripa Sindhu Evacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavebyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So again the translation. After Nabi Maharaj departed for Bhadrakashrama, the Supreme Lord Rishabha Deva understood that his kingdom was his field of activities. He therefore showed himself as an example and taught the duties of a householder by first accepting brahmacharya under the direction of the spiritual masters. He also went to live at the spiritual master's place, Gurukula. After his education was finished, he gave gifts, guru dakshin, to his spiritual masters and then accepted the life of a householder. He took a wife named Jayanti and begat 100 sons who were as powerful and qualified as he himself. His wife Jayanti had been offered to him by Indra, the king of heaven. Rishabha Deva and Jayanti performed householder life in an exemplary way, carrying out ritualistic activities ordained by Shruti and Smriti Shastra. So, in his purport, Srila Prabhupada first discusses, or he quotes Bhagavad Gita, in which Krishna explains to Arjuna the purpose of his descent. The verse prior to this quote is Yada Yada Hi Dharmasya Glanir Bharati Bhavata. That whenever and wherever there's a decline of religion and a rise of irreligion, he will avatar, he will descend. And to uphold those who are righteous and punish those who are miscreants, he appears age after age. So in this age of Kali, of course, we know the Lord appears as Mahaprabhu, but the Lord is always present as his holy name. Kali Kale Nama Rupa Krishna Avatar. That Krishna is, so when we chant the holy name of Krishna, he is present, and we find that even by simply the chanting of the holy name, we find that hearts become open. We find that, of course, in this verse, in the Gita, Krishna is describing that he will describe his activities of punishing demons and protecting his devotees. But we find that even with the chanting of the holy name, if we do so in the association of devotees and given the holy name, given Nam mantra by a qualified guru, we find that it destroys the demons in our heart. I remember once I was at a program with Bhakti Chaitanya Swami, and it was just a gathering of devotees. So yes, what would you like me to speak on? And a devotee, this young, you know, skinhead looking kid, was like, I want you to speak on the divine demoniac natures as described in Gita. And Maharaj had a very wonderful point. He said, in Satya Yuga, it's understood that the devotees lived on one planet and the demons lived on another planet. And he said, in Treta Yuga, they live on the same planet, but in different countries. And he said, in Dwapara Yuga, they lived in the same country, but they lived in different towns, in different homes. And he said, in Kali Yuga, demons and devotees live in the same person. So then he looked at this young man and goes, so who are you? Are you a demon or are you a devotee? So when we read about the divine demoniac natures, we should know that both these qualities are there within us. And therefore, we should do our best to try to recognize, oh, not diminish our good qualities. We should, you know, what good qualities we're given, we should be grateful to the Lord. So, oh, you've given me this nice gift. But for our demonic qualities, for our qualities that have our anartas, we should think, oh, this is my fault. This is not, Krishna didn't make me bad. This is some covering I have, and somehow it needs to be cleared. Back to the point, so the Lord descends to uphold righteousness. And oftentimes, he will present himself as the example, the ideal. Ramchandra is Mayad Purushottam. He is exemplary, exemplary person who performed Dharma without question. He could have accepted, after he banished Sita Devi, he could have accepted another wife, but he's Ekapatni Vrata. He took a vow to only accept one wife, and therefore he maintained that vow very nicely. Other example is that of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. First 24 years of his life, he was an ideal student and ideal householder. Last 24 years of his life, ideal sannyasi. And he exhibited, and Prabhupada mentions Mahaprabhu's example here, as a practical example of how one can live in this world and be engaged in fully Krishna conscious ways, but also one as a renunciate, fully dedicated to the mission of the Lord. Renunciants in other traditions only seek their own moksha, only seek their own liberation. But for sannyasis in the Vaishnava tradition, ours is to fulfill the Lord's mission, the Mukunda, for the pleasure of the Lord Mukunda. We preach. It is Goshtanandi and Bhajanandi. So there's some forms of renounced orders that are Bhajanandi. They go off somewhere, they chant. And Prabhupada had a disciple who had the idea that he wanted to become a Babaji and be a Bhajananandi. And Prabhupada said, no, I prefer, if you're going to take accept and renounce order, I'd rather you take sannyas and be preach. But the disciple insisted, so fine, Prabhupada said, okay, you can go. They said, and when you become qualified, then you can come out and preach. So sometimes people think it's the other way around, that Bhajananandi is a higher than Goshanandi, but Prabhupada made it very clear that actually the preaching sannyasi is of a higher order. And so Rishabhadeva, being an incarnation of the Lord, showed by practical example, even though he is the personality of Godhead, and Prabhupada states in his purport, he's omniscient. Therefore, he knows everything. Therefore, there's really no need for him to accept Guru. But we find an example of not only Rishabhadeva, but also Krishna and Mahaprabhu, all incarnations of the Lord, they always accepted Guru. They always accepted a teacher. Even Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, as he's giving Arjuna direct instruction, he said, Tad vidhi pranipanena paripashnena sevaya upadikshate gyanam gyanas tata darshana. He said, what I'm explaining to you, you can't understand. You need to go hear from a guru. Go from here from a guru who has realized the truth, who's tattva darshi, who has seen the truth, and render service and take shelter, and he will give you proper instruction. So even Krishna, in his instruction to Arjuna, even though Krishna had took the position of guru to explain to Arjuna the truth, he still, in that advice, said, you should accept the guru. And he himself accepted guru. And so Rishabhadeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is omniscient and no need of formal education, still to set the proper example, because we, as human beings, we model ourselves. We look for example. Even in practical life, even when we start a new occupation, I know every business, every job I've ever gotten, they give you a senior person to work under. And they train you and they show you, this is how you do this, and they explain answers to you. And when one becomes proficient, then you can work on your own. So we model ourselves. We can hear, but we may not understand. But if we see someone perform an activity, then we go, oh, this is how it's done. And this is just how we function as social creatures. You know, Prabhupada once said that a first-class man can understand by hearing. A second-class man can see by seeing. A third man has to experience something. And he said, the fourth class man, they may experience something, but they still don't understand. So the example of Prabhupada gives is that we may hear that stealing is wrong and go, okay, I won't steal. But some people go, well, I hear that stealing's wrong, but maybe there's a way around that. So they see someone who's stealing, they get caught and they get put in jail, and they go, oh, okay, this is what happens. You steal, you get caught, you go to jail. Third class person will think, okay, I hear that stealing is wrong. I've seen someone got caught. I think there's a way around. I think I can figure a way around this. So they try to steal themselves. They get caught, they get put in jail. And when they're in jail, they go, oh, I made a mistake. I need to rectify myself. I won't ever do it again. But the fourth class person will, you know, hear the ceiling is wrong, see someone get caught, he himself get caught, and while in jail thinking, okay, I didn't do that right. Maybe I'll try it again once I get out. So, although we understand that we should, by hearing is the most perfect of all processes, still, because we're limited, we need models, we need examples. Prabhupada quotes the Gita here, I forget where, but he basically, apani achari bhakti shikman sabare. So in Gita, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna states that whatever a great man does, common men follow. And it used to be that even politicians were supposed to be the moral upholders of moral righteousness. And now, today, we see, practically speaking, the political field, nobody cares for politicians that much. And even amongst religious leaders, we see in the news so many different religious leaders are falling down and this and that, and their followers become bewildered. So somehow, but the Lord, in these such circumstances, will descend. This is one of the purposes that the Lord will descend. Mahaprabhu appeared in Kali Yuga, and human beings were not exemplary by any stretch of the imagination, even back then. But he himself descended and showed the perfect model of being a perfect student, a perfect householder, and then a perfect renunciant. And in all his phases, all his lila, always showed first-class quality, always showed compassion, always was very strict with himself, very kind and compassionate towards others, followed, as the verse here says, the Shruti Smriti Puraniti Panchatrike Vidambina Aikanti Kari Bhaktir Upacheva Kalpate. That all activities must be conducted by the dictation of Shastra. And any activity which doesn't follow Shastra, as states in this verse, or in this quoted text, will simply cause a disturbance to society. So we may hear, oh, I need to be, you know, brahmachari life, but what does brahmachari life mean? Sometimes brahmachari life, people think, oh, I can go off somewhere and act independently. But here it said that brahmachari life is one is under the service and under the guidance of guru. Householder life means to carry out ritualistic activities, yajna. So as a householder, people are working, they're receiving income. And they think, oh, this is householder life. I'm receiving this income and I'm enjoying. No, that's griha medhi. That's not grihasa. Grihasa means that whatever we receive, we should support the sadhus. We should support the temple, wandering preachers, sponsor them, feed them, give them facility for preaching. Because by doing so, the householders will hear. For those who are vanaprastha, there's different stages of each ashram. And for vanaprastha, one stage of vanaprastha is that they serve at a temple. Husband and wife, they retire from family life, they move into a temple. And eventually they travel to different holy places and they bathe in tirthas, and again they hear. And sannyasi means that they give up all attachments, take up the danda, and they travel and preach. So each four ashram has a guiding principle behind it. It isn't just, okay, I'm 20 years old, now I'm brahmachari. Now I'm, you know, my 30s, I'm householder. Now that I'm in my 50s, I'll think about retiring. It isn't just a phase of life in which our body changes and then we do as we like. It means that for each stage of our life, it's an opportunity for growth. When we're young, children are like sponges. They could just take information in. They hear. Children are very good with hearing and taking in knowledge. So that's a good time for training for brahmachari, because they're hearing, they're receptive. They're like kapha. They're like just sponges. And therefore, Pallad advise his friends, don't wait till you get older to take up spiritual life, because when we're old, we may not remember and it may be too late. Better to do it while we're young. When we're young, we have full of life. You know, they say youth is wasted on the young because they have so much energy, they have so much vitality. When they need sleep, they can sleep in an instant. And when they're awake, they're going. And in school, they're taking in so much knowledge. So that's the perfect time in life for brahmachari, to be trained in dharma, be trained in spiritual knowledge. And when one is in their 20s to 50s, and this is, shastras say, first 25 years, brahmachari. 25 to 50 should be householder life. And that's when you're pitta. That's when you've learned all you can learn at that point, mostly. and you're engaged in activities, and you're out in the world. And Rishabhadeva was in a situation. His father departed. It was time for him to step up and take control of the kingdom. But rather than just simply kind of going at it directly, he did it properly. He took up brahmacharya life, and he's out in the world, and he was he and his wife carried out their household life in an exemplary way, carrying out ritualistic activities according to Shruti and Smriti. So they engaged in yajna. And then when time comes to retire, no point in carrying on the activities of a householder. There are plenty of young people to take that over for you. Hopefully one has a son, has sons to take over. Then they can immerse themselves in spiritual study, travel to holy places, hear from sadhus, become absorbed again in spiritual knowledge, and when they're ready, take sannyas. And we have, it's 9 o'clock, so our class ends around this time. Does anybody have questions or comments? Mukta Prabhu, what do you got for us today? Do you know Mukta Prabhu?
No.
Oh, this is Mukta Bhanya. He is our senior devotee. He's the man keeping things running here. He's entered vanaprastha life, so he's doing his duty and living at the temple and inspiring us and guiding devotees.
There's a verse, the text 15 in this chapter, it's like the Bhagavad Gita, whatever action is performed by a great man, yeah.
Common men follow, yeah. Yeah, that's, I mean, think about our own Srila Prabhupada. If Prabhupada had not come to the West, nobody here would have any idea about Krishna consciousness. And there were people who were trying to start chanting. Like, there were devotees of Neem Karoli Baba, Allen Ginsberg. They were trying to start kirtan here in America. Nobody cared for it. One fig. But it took an empowered representative of the Supreme Lord, Srila Prabhupada, to actually come and bring us the holy name, because he himself was chanting Shuddhanam. And because his chanting was such an empowered, pure level, immediately it entered the hearts. And as Niranjana Swami said in a lecture once, he said, everybody became mad. Everybody became mad for chanting because it entered the heart. And because Prabhupada's chanting was so potent and because it was so pure, it transformed lives. And so in the Chaitanya Mangala, it's described that Narada Muni himself wanted to start the Harinam movement. And so Ajakali had begun. He saw that people were very ritualistic, very harsh, very cold. So he started chanting. Nobody cared. And that's why he descended to the spiritual world and begged the Supreme Lord, you must descend. And in doing so, the Lord revealed his form as Mahaprabhu and described his activities. And he said, my preaching will be so powerful that the atheists will go to different countries. And therefore, I will send my general-like devotee, Sena Bhakti Patna, my general-like devotee to other countries to preach. So Prabhupada is such a general like devotee who went all around the world, everywhere, to America, to Europe, to Africa, even sent his devotees to like Pakistan. And of course, by their preaching, they got thrown in jail. And there's a whole story with that, but you know, so empowered that his devotees would just walk through a wall because Prabhupada himself was so dedicated. Prabhupada was willing to sacrifice everything. And in doing so, he inspired his disciples to perform great, wonderful things and establish this chanting. So Prabhupada himself was the example. If we didn't have Prabhupada's example, who would have taken it up? Even books. I mean, we can get a book. Somebody can go to the McGill Library in Toronto and read Bhaktivinoda Thakur's book that he had sent there. And that's wonderful, but we need that example, that somebody who is speaking, who we're hearing from, and who can just put Krishna in our heart. So, anything else you wanted to say, Prabhu? That's it. Thank you for finding that verse. Thank you very much. Granchad Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Shri Abhay Chinavinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada.